worthy to receive glory and power
and glory
and
majesty
and honor and
dominion forever.
For you have redeemed us unto God. You have redeemed us out of every tongue, out of every kindred. You have redeemed us out of every human limitation. And through you we now reign as kings and priests unto God. Oh, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. We magnify and we exalt your name. We bless you, Lord. You are ever so glorious. You are so awesome, so wonderful. Oh, that you would embrace us. Oh, that you have called us to yourself. Oh, that you have made us partakers of your divine nature. Oh, that you have invested your very life and your very spirit in us. Oh, that we have been connected to you by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been enjoined to you by blood. We have a fellowship and a communion in the blood. We have an intimate participation in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we thank you that you have self-sacrificed yourself through your Son so that you can have us for yourself, so that we can be yours. We have been bought with a price. We belong to you. We are not our own. We belong to you. We are your temple. We are your voice in this earth. We are the fragrance of you in every place. We are the epistles of Christ to be read of all men. We are the very manifestation of the essence of your being. Oh, what a glorious privilege. Oh, what a high call wherein you have called us. You have designated and have designed from before the foundation of the world that we might manifest your life. Hako Rebecca Sandaya. You have designed us, you have apprehended us for this very purpose, that we would be partakers of your glory, we would be partakers of your divine nature, and that we would manifest your life in the earth. So we thank you, Lord God, today, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a revealing and there is an unveiling of the truth. There is a demonstration by the Spirit of God and a witness to our spirit. The reality of this life, the reality of this enjoining, the power and the authority of this blood. So that even as the word would go forth, Lord God, this morning, we give you thanks right now that we hear, as we hear your word, we hear your voice. And you are speaking even now, even this morning, throughout this message, you are speaking through the blood that is on that mercy seat. And we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. We have ears to hear as the learned. Thank you, Father. It has been given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, that you are making known unto us what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. You are making known unto us what is the riches of the glory of that mystery, which is Christ within us, the hope of glory. And we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's have a seat. Praise God forevermore. The Lord is good. He is wonderful. He is awesome. He is dynamic. He is magnificent. Hallelujah. He is glorious. He is altogether lovely. And he is ever so faithful. He is the true and the living God. He is alive forevermore. We serve the living God. Hallelujah. Bless his name forevermore. Hallelujah. Oh, the beauty of his holiness. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I pray today that the word of God would be the voice of God to you in the name of Jesus. And I'm continuing on the subject of that we've been talking about the last several weeks, which is about the power that is in the life of the believer. Power that is in your life and functioning in that power of God. This is the seventh teaching in this series. And so we're just going to pick up and continue. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the preaching of the cross, for them that perish, it is foolishness. But to us who are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. What is the point? The point is that the proclamation, the declaration, the speaking of the gospel is the power of God. When you speak and when you declare and when you proclaim the good news of what Jesus did for us by his sacrifice, there is power that is released to produce salvation, to produce healing, to produce wholeness, to produce prosperity, to produce divine protection, to produce deliverance. The declaration of the sacrifice and the cross and what Jesus has finished and this good news, the declaration of this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Bless his name forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, what is the sacrifice of Christ? What is the sacrifice of Christ? Well, in simple terms, it's what Jesus did by offering up. But with what God did for us when he offered up his son Jesus and to redeem us unto himself, to reconcile us unto himself. In fact, to reconcile all things unto himself. It is a redeeming sacrifice. Now, there are eight distinct identifiable aspects and applications of the sacrifice of Christ. Namely, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his shed blood, his name, his life in us, and the word of God. Eight distinct aspects of the sacrifice of Christ that has application to our lives. Now, the power of that sacrifice, the power of the gospel, it flows by faith. It flows by faith. It flows by faith when we and I can grasp and apply not just the sacrifice and what Jesus did in those eight aspects, but when we can appropriate and apply what God did with us in the sacrifice of Christ. Which means what? You see, according to Colossians 2 and verse 12, it says, you and I were buried with Christ by baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through the faith of the operation of God that raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4 says, know ye not that as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ, you were also baptized into his death, and you were buried with him by baptism unto death. Not only that, you were also resurrected with him, and you were also ascended with him and made to sit together with him in heavenly places. You were washed by his blood, you were cleansed by his blood, and you were planted in this new covenant. And Christ is now in you, the hope of glory. And the life that you now live, it is the life of Christ. And the word of the living God is now in you and is to be spoken through you. All the promises of God are yes and amen. And the authority of the name of Jesus is yours. So you see, by this faith of the operation of God, when God placed you in Christ, what we need to capture is what he did with us in that sacrifice. And when we capture that and we apply it by faith, then the power of God is released. Because you see, so it is what God did with us in the death of Christ. We died with him. In the burial of Christ, we were buried with him. The old man was buried and gotten rid of. And we were resurrected with him to a new life. We were ascended with him and made to sit together with him in heavenly places. We've been washed and cleansed and purged and sanctified by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we now have his name, the authority of that name to live in, to pray with, to bind the devil with. And we also have the very life of Christ that is in us. We are partakers of his divine nature. And God has given unto us great and precious promises. The word of God that by these we are partakers of the divine nature and we are able to escape the corruption that is in the world because of lust. So that we are able to escape the limitations that the world has to deal with. We are able to escape the corruption that they have to deal with. We have a way of escape, and it is the name of Jesus. We have a way of escape, and it is the power of the blood. It's the power of the cross. It's the power of the life of Christ in us. It is the authority of resurrection. It is the reality of our position in ascension. These things are not available to the world, but they belong to us. So that by these we are partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. So you see, it is what Jesus did in his sacrifice, but it is also what God did with us in the sacrifice. It is out of that that we get the reality of our identification. We get a revelation of righteousness and so on. Amen? Hallelujah. The result of the sacrifice for you and I. Now, the direct and explicit and precise result of the sacrifice of Christ is basically captured in Galatians 2:20. The result and the precise and explicit result of the sacrifice of Christ is captured in Galatians 2:20, which says, "You were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, yet it is not you that live, but it is Christ that liveth in you. And the life you now live, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you." So you came to an end. You were crucified. You and everything else connected to that humanity, everything else that was against you, it died and it came to an end in his death and burial. And by resurrection, you now have the very life of Christ that is living on the inside of you. Amen? It says that by resurrection, you were born again to a new life. You were born again to a living hope. You were born again to an inheritance. It says in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? To an inheritance. First, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, that does not fade away, that is reserved in that realm of the Spirit in heaven for you and for I, and who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. Oh, we got such an awesome inheritance. Oh, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Oh, what are the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, what is the power and the reality of this name that now belongs to us. Oh, how rich they are the treasures that we now have in this earthen vessel. Oh, what is the excellence of the glory that is on the inside of us. We are partakers of his divine nature. The inheritance, the power, the name, the life of God. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. So by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were born again to a living hope, a vertical hope, God's hope, the hope that is from above. And we were also born again to an inheritance. Hallelujah. And the life of Christ is now our life in resurrection. The old life is gone. It came to an end when we were crucified and buried with Christ. But now is a new life, the life of Christ. Colossians 3, verse 3 and 4 says, "You are dead, and your life is now hid with Christ in God." And so when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. When that life of Christ that is now inside of us, when that is unveiled, that's when you see who you really are. Because as he is, so are you in this world. Hallelujah. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have passed away. And behold, stop, look, observe, capture this. Behold, all things have become new. And now all things are of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18. So by that one sacrifice, and we're talking about a result. What is the result of the sacrifice for you and I? By that one sacrifice of Christ, your spirit man has been made perfect. Hebrews 10, verse 14 says, by that one offering, by that one sacrifice, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that are now set apart to him by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. He has perfected forever you and I that are sanctified unto him. And he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are all one, it says in Hebrews 2 and verse 11. Hebrews 12, verse 23 says that calls us the Spirit. Hebrews 12, 24, I'm sorry. The Spirit of just men made perfect. Perfect. Now, the deceitfulness don't want you to see that. The deceitfulness wants to see you as just a sinner saved by grace rather than recognizing you used to be a sinner. That's long gone, but now you are brand new. And now you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Aren't you? Isn't it wonderful that when Paul wrote the letters, he didn't say, "I am sending this letter to the sinners in Ephesus, or the sinners in Corinthians, or the sinners in Galatians." That were no. He sent it to the saints. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, what is the result of this sacrifice for you and I? Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, you are God's workmanship. You have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God had prepared beforehand, before the world was, that you should walk in. You are the very product of that perfect sacrifice. You are the offspring of God. You are God's workmanship. Hallelujah. Furthermore, not only were you crucified with Christ, died with him, buried with him, resurrected with him, but the scripture says you also, God also made you alive together with Christ. And he raised you up together with Christ and made you to sit. He made you to sit. He made you to sit. He made you to sit in heavenly places in Christ at his right hand. He made you to sit. Has anybody ever made you to? Can you imagine if God made you to sit? What are you going to do? You're going to get up? If God says, you sit here, you better sit there. Are you with me? This is God we're talking about. Ephesians 2 verse 6. The scripture says, even when you were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. And he raised us up together with Christ. And he made us to sit together with him in heavenly places. Glory to God. So you and I have ascended with Christ. You and I are seated in Christ. And you are positioned at the right hand of God where you now live, where you now function from, where you are to speak from. Whatever you do, do everything in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do, do everything from where you live in this place of ascension. Do everything from where you live, from the very ascended life of Christ. Do everything that in the name of Jesus, where your life proceeds, there is life in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything from where you are, from who you are, from whose you are, and from your position. Amen? You don't speak to the mountains from here. You don't speak to sickness and disease from the natural. You speak to these things from where? From the life of Christ, the ascended life of Christ, from the place of ascension. Amen? And if you don't, they wouldn't listen to you. The mountains are not going to move. They're going to stare back at you. Amen? Nor would the devils even budge. But when you speak as who you are, an oracle of God, a son of the living God, in the authority of the name of Jesus, with the voice of the blood speaking and backing you up, and you speak from that place, that position of ascension. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus is Lord. Everything will bow to the nature of God, because God has already commanded it, that unto me every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. Hallelujah. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Without him there was nothing made that was made. He is preeminent. His nature is above all, and it is that nature that is in, that is imparted into your spirit. It is that nature that is the very essence of the righteousness that God has made you in Christ. It is that nature of Christ that is the life of Christ that is in you. And when you function in that life, when you function in that nature, when you function in that name, every knee bows, hallelujah. Not to you, but him in you. Remember, it's no longer you, but it's Christ that liveth in you. Hallelujah. And the life you now live, you live it by the faith of the Son of God. So, we have covered over previous lessons. We've covered over previous lessons the first four aspects of the sacrifice. Power because of your death and burial with Christ. Power from resurrection, from your resurrection and ascension with Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 to 5, basically, he says, I determined not to know anything among you, save what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. He says, that's all I want to know. I don't want to know your history. I don't want to know your background. I don't want to know about your education. I don't want to know who your family is. I don't want to know any of that. I don't want to know about your giving. I don't want to know about any of you. All I want to know is about Christ and him crucified. All I want to know is the reality of you being crucified with Christ, and it's no longer you that live, but it's Christ that liveth in you. And he says the reason for that, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 5, is so that you can make the shift and that your faith might not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And the gospel is the power of God. The reality that you have come to an end and it is now the life of Christ, that is the power of God. Hello. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, but in today's lesson, what we're going to do is that we're going to talk about the fifth application of Christ, the blood of Christ. Say the blood of Christ. Say the blood of Christ. Oh, say it one more time. The blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, we can talk about the blood-bought promises of God. We can talk about the new blood covenant that God has with you and your family. We can talk about silencing the voices of accusation by the blood, and silencing other voices that are against you by the blood. We can talk about the blood and spiritual warfare. And each and every one of those are awesome subjects. Nevertheless, within the time frame that we have, and I didn't say that just to say how much there is. Actually, I did say that to say how much more else there is. But I'm also saying it for this reason, that in this study today, we're going to limit our focus to this. Knowing and seeing through the blood. Knowing and seeing through the blood. Amen? Those are all other areas that we can go into, the promises, the blood covenant, and but we are just going to focus on knowing and seeing through the blood. Knowing God, you see, we want to capture how God knows and sees you through the blood. And we want to capture how you know and see God through the blood. And then I'll tell you, now here's the other one. We want to capture how you know and see yourself through the blood. Amen? It's critical. Amen? Now I'm gonna pop this in here for right now. Lord willing, next week we're going to talk about knowing and seeing others through the blood, knowing and seeing the enemy and circumstances through the blood, right? But not today. Right now, we're just going to deal with you knowing and seeing God through the blood, God knowing and seeing you through the blood, and you knowing and seeing yourself through the blood. Are we okay? Are we ready? We are here. Say thank God for the blood. The blood of Christ. Hallelujah. All right. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. And I'm going to use this verse here as this as the main text, so to speak, for this teaching. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ. The God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, he brought him from the dead. That great shepherd of the sheep, how? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Oh, hallelujah. The grave could not hold him. Yes. Death could not hold him. Hell could not hold him. Because of the power and authority of that blood, that God was able, by the authority of that blood, to raise him from the dead. Yes. Isn't that right? That's awesome. Hallelujah. Even when he was dead, the blood spoke. Yes. All right, anyway, let's back up. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead, the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. So, is that scripture saying that God can make you, that God makes you perfect through the blood of the everlasting covenant? That's what we read. And then it goes on to say, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Oh, there is something about doing God's will that is connected to this blood. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Oh, not just a little pleasing, but this blood has such power. It can work within you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Oh, I mean, faith got to be involved. That which is well-pleasing in his sight, that means obedience must be involved. That means holiness must be involved. That means the fear of the Lord must be involved. It has the power to work within you to do his will. That which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, which means by virtue of the sacrifice, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Man, we could just read that verse 10, 15 times and go home. So, but let's move on. What is God's design from the foundation of the world? Before the world was, before there was ever a fall, before God said, let there be light. Now, as we study this subject of knowing and seeing as God does, knowing and seeing through the blood of Christ, I want us to be heavenly minded. I want us to think and put our mindset to before the foundation of the world, before the world was. What was in the mind of God? What was his plan? What was he designed? What was he talking about? I know the plans that I have for you. Before I form you, what is he talking about? What is that? Let's have that kind of mindset. What is it that God had designed? Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 says, now remember this. As I'm saying, what did God have in mind from before the foundation of the world? What had he designed for us? What is this about the blood? And how can the blood, what's going on here? Remember, it says in Hebrews 4 verse 3 that all the works of God were finished from before the foundation of the world. All the works of God were finished from before the foundation of the world. Hebrews 4 verse 3. And when God says all, He doesn't mean some. He doesn't mean most. He means all. Are you with me? Now, so let's get our mindset. And what was it like before the foundation of the world? What was in his mind? In Revelation 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus was the Lamb of God that was slain from before the foundation of the world. It played out 2,000 years ago, but according to that scripture, he was slain from before the foundation of the world. Now, there are two things that we need to grasp and receive. Two things. Number one, Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us, just as he chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame before him in love. So God designed for your life and for my life, as you were born again, is for you, now listen to this, catch this, was for you to one, experience the life of Christ. Two, to manifest the life of Christ. Three, and for you to have the manifestations of the life of Christ. God's plan and design, he didn't just send you into this world arbitrarily and que sera, sera, whatever happened. No, his design was for you to experience the life of Christ, experience the manifestations of that life, and for you to manifest the life of Christ in the earth. Amen? Even to the point that this whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as water covered the sea. Amen. Galatians 1 verse 15 and 16 says, reveals that when God called you from your mother's womb, it was with a clear intent and purpose to reveal his son in you. To reveal his son in you, and that your life would be a proclamation of Christ. Your life will be the very evidence that Jesus is alive. Your life would be like a living epistle to be read of all men. An epistle of what? Of Christ. God had ordained and had planned and purposed that his son might be revealed in you, and that he would be the declaration of the nature of God through you. So the entire purpose of your life is for Christ to manifest his life in you and through you. That's why Colossians 1:27 says, God will make known what is the mystery. What is this mystery that was hid from the foundations of the world, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 John 4, verse 9 says, in this the love of God was manifested towards us. The love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. Why? That we might live through him. I'm talking about experiencing the life of Christ, manifesting the life of Christ, experiencing the manifestations of that life. Our Christianity is designed to go to a higher place. This life is not to be an intellectual one. This life is not to be a life of just understanding this and understanding that. That is important. Through wisdom, the house is built. Through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, the rooms are filled with plenty. But it is more than understanding. It is more than revelation. It is more than comprehension. We need to experience this life of Christ and manifest him, that you might know him and the power of his resurrection. That we might know what is this love of God that passes all knowledge. That we might experience it. That we will be rooted and grounded and established in the reality of this life and the nature of God. Are you with me? So God sent his, herein is the love of God manifested towards us, that God has sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him, that we might live the life that comes through him. What is the life that comes through Christ? The life of Christ. That's why no longer you to live, but it's Christ that liveth in you. That scripture is to become an experience. That we might live the life that comes through him. His life. This was God's plan and design for you. From the very beginning. Say this with me. Say, this is God's design. This is God's plan for me to experience the life of Christ. To live the life of Christ. For Christ to live in me and to live through me. This is not the scripture says, in him we live and move and have our being. Didn't Jesus say, I in them and them in me? Amen? Hallelujah. But now here is the thing. This life is only possible through the blood. Through the blood. I'm going to put this right up front. The blood is more than forgiveness of sins. Thank God for forgiveness of sins, but it's much more than that. So that's the first thing I want you to capture. Have this before the foundation of the world mindset. I am designed by God to experience and manifest the life of Christ. Hallelujah. The second thought is this that we must capture is the will and the works of God for you are from the foundation of the world. God didn't just come up, you know, maybe then after you got born again, say, let me see, what am I going to do with this life? No, the plan of God for your life and his will was from before the foundation of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 says, God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. You had nothing to do with it. Your goodness had nothing to do with it. But it was according to his own purpose. And we know that purpose, that Christ might live his life in you and through you. And grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. But has now been revealed, unveiled by the appearing and the unveiling of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So God's design was from the very foundation before the world began that you would experience Christ's life and that you would do his will and that you would do his works. Amen? It says now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Listen to this verse. It says the foundation of God standeth, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having the seal, the Lord knows them that are his. The foundation of God is God knows me. God knows you. It is not that I know him. The foundation of God standeth sure that God knows them that are his. God knows them that are his. Not I knowing him. That's not the foundation. The foundation is him knowing you. So, how does God know you? How does God know me? God knows you through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Say thank God. God knows you through the blood of the everlasting covenant. God knows you through the blood. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20 and 21 says, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, he makes us perfect. He makes us perfect through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Hebrews 10 verse 14 says, by one sacrifice, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 12, verse 23 says, the spirit of just men made perfect. God sees you in your spirit. God sees, and you sit thank God again. God sees you in your spirit through the blood of Christ. He sees you as perfect. in your spirit, no spot, no blemish, no fault. How do you see you? Colossians 1, 21 and 22 says, you are reconciled. You are reconciled in the body of Jesus' flesh through death, and you are presented holy and blameless and above reproach in God's sight. That's how God sees you. How do you know you? How do you see you? Do you see you as God sees you? How do you see you? Do you see you through the blood of Christ, or do you see you in your history? Based on what you have done, your achievements or the lack thereof. Do you see you in your flesh? Do you see you and do you see your own self-righteousness? And is that how you know you? Do you see you from a sin consciousness? The blood of Christ came to put an end to that way of thinking, to put an end to that sin consciousness. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy that sin consciousness. Let's read a few verses of scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, reading from verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, it can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, it could never make those that approach God perfect. Oh, can you hear the cry of God's heart? Every time they offered up that blood of bulls and goats year after year, their God was being reminded that they did not make them perfect, and I want them to be perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified and purged, they would have no more consciousness of sins. They would have no more consciousness of sins. That's what God was after. God wanted us to come before him not having a consciousness of sin, not being cowered before him, not being under condemnation, not shrinking back, but coming boldly through the blood of Jesus, having our conscience purged, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. For in these sacrifices there is a reminder every year of sins. And it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. But guess what? The blood of Christ did. Amen? The blood of Christ did. So what happened? No, let's get back to this. What happened in your conscience when you ask God, you know, God knows me. All right? Listen to your conscience for a moment. And you say, God knows me. What does your conscience respond? What is happening in your conscience? Because you can see here, am I sin conscious? Am I righteousness conscious? God knows me. Now, what it ought to be, you ought to be saying, God, you know me. I'm yours. You are mine. God, I'm sanctified by the blood. I'm set apart to you. But on the other hand, you might be thinking, God knows me? You might be thinking, what does God know about me that needs to change? Now, that might sound good. You thinking, well, what does God know about me that needs to change? But even that mindset, that sounds spiritual. It even sounds like a broken and a contrite and a repentant heart. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Sounds good. But it is the very sin consciousness that Jesus shed his blood to put an end to. His blood is on the mercy seat of God right now in that throne room. And it is speaking. It is speaking. What is it saying? Hebrews 10 verse 19. Therefore, brethren, because of the remission of sins, where God remembers your sin no more, and he has no record of it. Therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The knowledge of the truth, of the power, the purging power of that blood, removes sin consciousness. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34 says, awake, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Awake to this reality that you have, Jesus was made sin for you, and you are made the righteousness of God in Christ. And because of that blood, you can stand before His, you can come into His presence with boldness, without any sense of condemnation and inferiority and insecurity, without being intimidated, without having any sense of fear. Because God has not given you a spirit of fear, a spirit of bondage again to be coward and to back up. No, He has given you a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He has made you the very righteousness of Himself. You see, that sin consciousness is what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me just read a few verses. Reading from verse 6, well, verse 5. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit, because the letter killeth, brings condemnation, guilt, shame, but the spirit gives life. Jesus says, go to the woman, neither do I condemn thee. Does that mean that she should go and keep on sinning? No. But he says, neither do I condemn thee. But if the ministry of death that was written and engraven on stones, if that was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will not the ministry of the Spirit not be even more glorious? And then listen to this. For if the ministry of condemnation that Moses was walking in had glory, and it causes the ministry of condemnation, and if that had glory, then the ministry of righteousness, where we are today, exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. So what am I saying here? This condemnation, this ministry of condemnation has been, is not what we're living in. You see, you are now in the ministry of righteousness. Jesus was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, and God wants us to awake to that reality. God wants the voice of that blood to speak within our conscience. You are justified. You are declared righteous by the blood of Christ. Romans 5 verse 9. And there is now what? No condemnation to them that are in Christ, who are walking after the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 1. God knows you. How? Through the blood, thank God. Through the blood of Christ. But you must know yourself through the blood. When Jesus entered the holiest of holies with his own blood that was placed on the mercy seat, remember when he said to Mary in the garden, don't touch me, for I not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father? What was going on? He was taking his blood to the throne room of God. And the scripture says he placed it in the mercy seat. Hebrews 12, 24 says that blood speaks. And it has a voice. What are you hearing? The blood that sets you free gives you boldness and access with confidence. How? Through the blood, to the very throne of God, gives you access to the principalities and powers. The blood, say the blood. Hallelujah. So yes, God knows and he sees you. How? Through the blood. It says, not with the blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews 9 verse 12, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. What does that mean, eternal redemption? It means you have been ransomed. You have been fully paid for. Your fine is paid and you're free to go. You don't have to stay in the jailhouse anymore. You have been ransomed. God said in Hebrews 10, verse 17, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, your sins are forgiven. They are remitted. They are wiped out. And they are forever removed. But now, catch this. Yes, your sins are forgiven. But it is not because you needed forgiveness that your sins were forgiven. But because God wanted you for himself. 1 John 2:12 says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Your sins are forgiven because you needed forgiveness? No, for his name's sake, because God wanted you. God wanted you. It says in 1 John 1, 4, verse 9, it says this. First John 4, 9 says, remember, God did this because he wanted you for himself. First John 4, 9 says, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. Why? That we might live through him. That we might live the life that comes through him, which is the life of Christ. This was God's design. This is why God did it. So that he can have you for himself and his Son live in you and live through you. So if you think that God is forgiving you because of your sins, then we are missing it. The blood is more than a reaction to what we did. It was because of who he is. It is not about us, but it is about him. Did you capture that? God's love for you and I was so great that the very essence of his own life was self-sacrifice through Christ so that he can receive you. He has formed us for himself. He has blotted out our transgressions for his own sake. But now there is a devil, your enemy, and he will try to accuse you. He will try to condemn you. He will use people, circumstances, voice, history, what you've done in the past to accuse you. But listen to the word of God. Revelation 12 verse 10 says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ.